The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new episode of Esports Boom, your weekly esports business wrap-up podcast. But this week, because it's the last episode of 2017, we wanted to do something different. So rather than talking about the news, and honestly, there isn't a lot of news out there this week because of the holidays, we figured it would be good to look back at 2017, talk about some of the biggest stories, and also give some of our predictions and trends that we see will pop up in 2018. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Anton Ferraro. Anton, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mo. How are you doing? How was your break so far?
It's going great. I mean, it's very relaxing and ready to get back to work, though. But definitely those days when you don't need to worry about what time you wake up are definitely worth it. How about you?
I'm enjoying myself. I just downloaded a new game. I'm going to be checking out There Are Billions. It's a Tower of Defense game. Kind of excited because that's my jam. But yeah, let's get into some of the stories. I think that the way that we're going to structure the show is, well, we're going to first go over things that we think will get bigger, and then we're going to transition into things that we think are going to get smaller. So let's get into it. Mo, what do you think is one trend that will become bigger in 2018?
Well, one trend I think that we look up is mobile esports. So we've seen some titles really jump up in 2017. We saw Clash Royale really build up. And we saw the start of Arena of Valor. I mean, the start in the US and in Europe. So I think it's pretty interesting to see that grow. And I think 2018 will be the year where we'll see a real tier one mobile esports title. And I'm putting my bet on either Clash Royale or Arena of Valor.
Yeah, I also had mobile getting bigger. I think Clash Royale is going to need, or Arena of Valor, a year or so to catch its feet in the US. I think it's had a pretty long runway in China. But I think Clash Royale will be the game that will kind of bring mobile. I think that they've kind of been quietly operating their circuit for, maybe the past 6 months. But the game, it continues to be popular. It continues to be a huge, huge earner. I think some earnings reports came out earlier this month about just how massive it was. So I'm very bullish on mobile esports. I don't think that mobile esports battle royale games are going to be as popular. The experience just isn't that great.
I agree.
Yeah. So, and I think, I guess it will segue into Battle Royale, but yeah, I think Battle Royale has become a huge trend. I think we've seen, it's already been massive this past year. So this is, again, like a really kind of a safe bet. But I think what you're going to see is production companies, whether it's somebody up in, Twin Galaxies up in New York with Rick Fox's people, or ESL with PUBG, or even maybe Tencent with Fortnite, try and put on a good production for Battle Royale. And I think that because the concept is so simple, I think it's going to attract much more mainstream attention.
Absolutely. I think the rise of a tier one esports title being Battle Royale, I think is a bit of a chaotic right now because of all the players. But I think we'll see a ton of, whether it's PUBG, Fortnite, or whatever Battle Royale game will come out, I think we'll see tons of people aiming for that tier one shot, but landing in a solid, tier two, tier three spot, and really starting to build a grassroots community.
So, all right, let me put you on the spot here. And there's two basically front runners right now, which is PUBG and Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to answer this question after you, but I'm curious to see, out of PUBG and Fortnite, which do you think is going to come out on top as the first esport, and why?
That's very tough. I will have to go with Fortnite, just because of its cartoony kind of vibe and its free-to-play user base. I think it has the potential of attracting more kind of a mainstream audience. I don't think, you know, we'll see traditional TV or big brands invest in PUBG the way they would do in Fortnite, because Fortnite is a little bit more family friendly. So even though I think it's kind of against the current trend, I think Fortnite will have a very, very good year. How about you?
I also think it's going to be Fortnite. One, I will agree with your point about it being more sponsor friendly. I'm also going to say that the game right now, in my opinion, has more depth with the structure building aspect of it. I think that the developers have been much better at supporting it, and they have, you know, they're just iterating day in and day out. I mean, I feel like every other day that I log in, there's an announcement about something coming out, whether it's like the boogie bomb or, you know, a new 50 versus 50 mode. And I feel like with PUBG, it's like, I don't play it nearly as much, but the biggest announcement that I've seen is that you can now mantle and that you have a second map. So I'm much more bullish on Fortnite just based on their momentum and just based on, you know, where they're taking it. It's also a Tencent property. So as Tencent continues to establish their world domination, Fortnite's a safer bet.
Absolutely. And I think you also had a trend that had to do with Tencent, since we're already talking about it.
Yeah. So I feel this is kind of what I want to see out of Tencent. So basically 6 months ago, they came out with an announcement that Droga5 is going to be their creative agency on record for the North America. During that time, they acquired Clash Royale, which I'm trying to remember who, Supercell. They own Riot Games, and they own, a controlling stake of Epic Games, which operates Fortnite. And I would really like to see, and I'm going to guess that it's something that they're considering, a Tencent festival similar to the style of a BlizzCon or a TwitchCon. To my knowledge, I don't think Riot does anything like that. I think that Hi-Rez does it. They have the Hi-Rez festival. Is Hi-Rez, by the way, owned by Tencent? I think they are.
Partially owned, right?
Yeah. So I think that you're going to see a bigger, like an official Tencent festival. Maybe not League of Legends, just because it's such a strong property on its own, but I would not be surprised to see something like Clash or Fortnite join forces, you know, at some expose.
Yeah, and generally, I think Tencent will completely ramp up their esports activities. They're hiring for esports people in the U.S. right now, and they're hiring very actively. So I think we'll see some really big moves by them in 2018.
Yeah. All right. What's your next trend, Mo?
So the next trend kind of is primarily positive, but it has one smaller negative like undertone. So I think the NBA 2K League will be a surprise. I think right now it's kind of the NBA 2K community is very active and very excited. But then if you go to the more like old guard of esports, they're a little bit hesitant about it. I think it will surprise positively. Especially if you compare it to the investment you needed to make in the beginning to get into the league, the amount of money poured into it, and probably the results. This will be from both a viewership and sponsor perspective. I think large part of it is driven by their innovation. They're working so closely with the publisher on continuing to innovate and making it more easy for sponsors and players to get into it. However, I do think that they will make some mistakes. I think this first year is an experimental year, pretty much. But I don't think it'll have. I think it. They will make some clear mistakes for everyone to see. But I think in the long term, they'll be healthier because of it.
Yeah, I think that out of the three leagues, what is it? You have the FIFA League, you have the Madden League, and you have the NBA 2K League. Those are the kind of the traditional sports leagues. I think that the NBA 2K League seems like the front runner. They seem like they're putting in the most amount of resources, the most amount of planning. Madden Challenge definitely took steps, but I just don't like they're kind of doing what they did before, just better. Mm-hmm. I am more bullish out of the NBA on the NBA league out of all of those, especially because it is the NBA league. Madden is kind of run by EA, so there's their hands are tied in some respects. Absolutely. No, definitely. And I think that, my next prediction is that I think that another startup similar to Discord will break through. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a chat or communication app, but I do think that another service provider for users will have massive amounts of growth. I think in 2014, you know, Twitch was that story. In 2016-17, Discord was that story. And I think we're due for another one in 2018. So something that will leverage esports for its initial 0 to 1, 0 to 10 growth will break 25 million users. That's my firm bet.
That's really interesting. I kind of agree. I just am completely oblivious to what it would be. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, no, I think it'll come through.
I mean, if one of us would have the idea, we wouldn't be here making a podcast right now. We would have been working on it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what's your next one, Mo?
So the next one kind of has to do with like the tech world as well. I think Facebook or YouTube will really ramp up their esports offering. Either one of them will try to make a push to chip away at Twitch. We've seen kind of the foundation being set on YouTube side with their Faceit deals and some of their leagues. But they've been, you know, kind of on the backside when it comes to live offering. I think Facebook has their Paladins League and that isn't doing too well. But I think, especially with both of them getting bigger and bigger teams on the game side, I think we'll see them really going for the bigger tournaments, like the Tier 1 tournaments. And I think there'll be some big announcements in 2018.
Yeah. I think with Facebook or with Google, we saw that they are now providing stats directly in the search bar. They are providing loot drops. So they're definitely trying to integrate directly with the games. I think with Facebook, we saw them roll out their creators program and we saw some moves with Paladins. I was actually very bullish on esports content on Paladins, but it has not been surfaced to me once. I'm interested in esports. I feel like, you know, Facebook has that data on me, but that content has never been surfaced to me. And it's kind of disappointing.
And to be fair, I think that's a larger problem with Facebook. I'm a huge soccer fan and I haven't seen anything of the Champions League games that were exclusive to the US.
So the other way I've read an interesting article about how Facebook evolves its product. At any given time, there are thousands of versions of Facebook that users are interacting with. And basically what happens is developers, in order to test a feature and its success, they will release it to a limited amount of users, like sometimes 10,000, sometimes more. And then depending on how that test goes, they will ramp it out into a wider release to globally or to their entire user base. So I'm curious we haven't seen any massive steps out of Facebook this year. But I would not be surprised if during 2017, they were testing these features with a limited amount of people. And then in 2018, potentially is when we'll see them get roll it out. So they're getting this Paladins content for free. They're basically using it as a test. And then in 2018, you know, once they figured out how to best optimize it for their sample size, they just do a wide release to everyone else. I mean, that's an Alex Jones conspiracy theory. But again, thinking about it, maybe it is kind of an internal test. They're not trying to, since they don't have to pay for the content, they're not under under pressure to monetize it and grow it.
Fair enough. It wouldn't be an Esports Boom episode without you talking about at least one conspiracy.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. It's always enjoyable. All right. Okay. So let's talk about another trend. I think that Netflix will have original esports content in 2018. Do you agree or disagree, Mo?
I agree. I think they will license content that isn't exclusive more heavily. But the massive way they're producing content in 2017 and the growth they're planning in 2018, it will be hard for them not to have targeted esports content or at least gaming content that focuses on esports as well.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So Netflix, I think Amazon will also make a bigger move into esports. I think right now they own Twitch. There was a report kind of 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, of how one of the, there's a guy who's in charge of, there's a guy in the Twitch office who is, it was basically installed by Amazon, and he's kind of helping co-run the company right now. So I think that's them trying to basically integrate Twitch further into the Amazon brand. I think that they did a lot of stuff with mobile this year that was directly under the Amazon label. I think that there's a lot more integration that Amazon can do in the space. So I think that them, in addition to Netflix, are going to make many more bolder moves, especially with how much Facebook is doing, how much YouTube is doing, the fact that they're probably eating away at Twitch's market lead. So I do have a prediction that Amazon, you'll see more out of Amazon and esports in 2018.
Yeah, and I also think that we'll see more. We'll see Twitch being used more to promote Amazon's services and products. We've seen it with the with Twitch Prime, obviously, but lately we've seen it with the G League, which focuses more on the kind of sports video set, the strategy that Amazon has, and some of the NFL games. So I think that'll also grow tremendously in 2018.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. Do you have any more growing trends, or are we into the next two more growing?
I have one more prediction that is a positive prediction for 2018. I think either the MLS, NFL, or both will announce a league similar to NBA 2K in 2018. So right now, the MLS is notoriously absent from esports. Some of the teams already have a FIFA player, like NYCFC. The NFL, on the other side, has kind of the grassroots tournament system. They don't really have a league where every team has a player playing for them that you know they play week in, week out. I think we'll see at least one of them, if not both of them, announce or even start a league in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, they have the Madden Ultimate League right now that's going to start up, I think, in a week or two. Maybe not in a week or two, but it's on the horizon. And they did have the Club Series this year, which was, each team, I think, got their own player. So I'm curious how that will be evolved, because I don't think I've seen any official announcements on that.
No. So I think, that's a logical one, but I think we're also looking at the MLS. We can see them announce something in 2018. You have anything else, or shall we move to the more negative trends for 2018?
I have two more, but they're kind of safe bets again, and then one kind of segues into the negative stuff. So one, I think casinos will incorporate esports more on their gambling floors. That's just kind of it's a no-brainer. I think that, with what they're doing with Tobias, I don't expect Tobias to release his game in 2018. But I do expect that they will have like an esports breakthrough moment. Some down on the luck publisher will allow casinos to use their titles on the gaming floor. I think that, there's enough hype about esports, and there's enough publishers out there that aren't hitting their benchmarks, that just kind of giving favorable treatment to casinos to incorporate their games on the gambling floor will occur.
Agreed. How about the second one?
The second one, it kind of segues into the negative ones, so it's kind of a perfect one, is I think that the U.S. government will begin the process to regulate esports. I think that we've kind of enjoyed some positive things, like athletic visas, but with gambling becoming more involved, with the amount of attention and the money that's being poured into the space, you're going to see it come under the same type of scrutiny as traditional sports are currently experiencing. So I think that process will start to kick off and, gain steam during 2018.
Yeah, especially if they have, the Jersey decision about like gambling, and everyone's talking that a decision will most likely be made in 2018 about legalized sports gambling. Once that goes through, you can expect tons of regulation with regards to esports.
Yeah. All right. So what's your first negative one? Let's go negative, Nancy.
Yeah. So I have one big negative one, which is that the OWL will disappoint their traditional sports investors and a mainstream audience in 2018. And just to elaborate a little further on that, I don't think it'll disappoint the Overwatch fans or the esports teams invested in the league. I think the esports teams invested in the league have a better grasp of the type of ROI they can expect, the type of growth, and the opportunities. I think, furthermore, that the hardcore Overwatch fans clearly have you know, they like so far what they're seeing, or their the product is starting to grow. I think they'll continue, especially with in-game, you know, incentives to watch the game. But the dream of it being a kind of growing into the mainstream, and really the idea that the traditional sports owners had of it really exploding year one, I really doubt that's going to happen. I think they'll be disappointed, and I think the mainstream media will be disappointed, and like everyone who didn't take all the announcement with a grain of salt, I think is going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think that. Gosh, I really hope that they succeed. I think it would be terrible for everybody in the space if they don't do well. I think that they're making all the right steps, and you know, if they could succeed with Counter-Strike, I think Overwatch has hope. I just think that Overwatch has more than hope. They have a really good chance. They also have $230 million that's been committed to the league. I just think that, when you get over the initial hype of the launch and, you know, you get into the league and where the storylines have to carry the league, I think that they really need to succeed and knock it out of the park. But yeah, I mean, it's a tenuous territory. I think that, I would also not be surprised, you know, if they change the game, right? So the idea is, like one of the benefits that we're always touting about digital sports versus analog sports is that you can change analog sports, you can change digital sports, so esports, right? You can update it, you can make changes. And if you look at what Riot, the state of Riot's product, what it was at in 2010 versus to where it is now in 2018, I think that Overwatch has the resources and has the capability to evolve their game. And I think that right now, one of the things that people are most nervous about is the game quality. Like, it plays well, but it doesn't, like, the depth and the complexity make it hard to watch. So the idea is that the fact that you can change champions during a match, the fact that, you know, it's a 6-on-6. I would not be surprised to see them make big changes, whether it's, you know, drop it down to a 5-on-5, create a 2v2 mode, or just like evolve the game over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 years away from, you know, the 6-on-6 that it is. The 6-on-6, push the payload, or come out with a new game mode. So I do think that Overwatch has hope. I just feel like they need to iterate and they need to evolve quickly. Yeah.
It'll definitely be like the thing I'm most excited about for 2018 from a kind of league and tournament perspective is to see the OWL and the NALCS start the first month of 2018. That'll be a historical moment in esports.
No, definitely. It's going to be a crazy January. And I think that, you know, the fact that two leagues that are kind of operating, you know, in tandem with the LCS and the OWL, I think that they're both benefiting from it, right? That it's creating the storyline of like, oh, which game do you follow? So I think that's a positive. All right. So my negative story is I think you're going to see one or more media coverage sites shut down, and these are going to be big ones. It's really hard to make any money. Advertising rates are falling through the floor. I've seen too many shut down this year. I've seen many shut down previous years, and I think that trend will continue. I don't think that, I think that for the amount of money I'm seeing poured into coverage sites, whether it's the content like Mashable's doing or Double Tap or The Score or ESPN or, I mean, I'm trying to think who else there is, you know, Kotaku has their own vertical. I don't think that there's enough room for all of them. And I don't think that, you know, they're differentiating in the content that they're creating enough.
Absolutely. I think we'll probably might even see more than just one. I think a lot of these companies are experimenting with their esports vertical. I mean, Double Tap is a great example. that's like really an experiment. And if those don't pay out in a year, they will be shut down.
Yeah. And I think actually by the end of 2018, it'll be an 18-month runway for most of these guys. Yeah. All right. Do you have anything that you think is going to get smaller or a negative one?
I just have one more. I think you have plenty more, but I think that we'll see, there is a host of independent tournament organizers building up similar to what we saw with media. So on one hand, you have the giants like the ESL, the DreamHacks, and now you have tons of these smaller independent organizers bubbling up. Twin Galaxies is a good example, but they're even smaller ones. I think it's a similar idea like media, where especially because of the way sports works, you can't have a league. If your league gets big enough, the games, either the publisher will say like, hey, we want to run our own esports tournament, or the publisher will just say, we don't want you to throw any more tournaments of our game. So I think there are tons of these independent tournament organizers sprouting up right now. And I think a lot of them will have to either pivot or they're just going to fail just because of the extreme competitiveness right now in the space.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's the wild, wild west years of, succeeding as a run and gun tournament provider are definitely over. I think you're seeing even some of the bigger dogs, fight over, not the top tier titles. And I think the publisher control has kind of taken away that opportunity. I think we're going to see, so my negative one is I think we're going to see a scandal where a big personality will step over the line. I think that, we've had some brushes before, maybe thinking about like what Thorin did with his Polish comment. It was definitely out of line, but I don't think that it was anything on the level of Harvey Weinstein. But I think that something that's been building for a year or multiple years will boil over. I don't have anything specific, but what I do, kind of my reasoning on this was, you have a lot of people in the space who've been here for 10 years. I think that at least one of them has skeletons in their closet. And I think that once they become large enough and lucrative enough to become a target, the person who was wronged will surface their worries. So I do think that, you're going to have a big esports scandal in 2018, whether it's player side, whether it's personality side, whether it's, publisher side. I think that, there's going to be something larger.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I unfortunately think that there's probably a big reason for it to happen. To be honest, I think it's not the people that are most targeted right now, because, the person.
If there was something on like Thorne or Richard Lewis that was major, because they're such public figures, it would have already surfaced.
I think they have strong opinions, but I don't think they are those type of people. God forbid, I don't think they are that. They just have strong opinions, and therefore they, if it's kind of this reasoning, right? If they had something even remotely incriminating like that, it would have been out right now, because people are digging because they're so have such large opinions. I think it's most likely, unfortunately, going to be someone you do not expect it to come from.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be somebody from. I don't have any predictions, but I think that there's going to be a big one. I think we've been fortunate that there hasn't been anything too major, but I think that we're, just seeing what's going on everywhere else, I think that we're kind of an outlier in how little has been mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. And I think my last one for the negative ones that I'm going to say is I think Counter-Strike is overvalued right now. I think that we're going to see some pullback from CSGO. I think they're not necessarily making as much money from sponsors as they wished, because it's, a terrorist versus counter-terrorist game. I think that, the player salaries have ballooned to an extreme amount. And I don't think that, they have the same protection as franchising. We've also seen, some and I don't know the specifics of this, but we've seen some of this start to happen with ES Force pulling back, I think, from Na'Vi. So that's also kind of like an interesting one, because ES Force was kind of the first big, I guess, I don't want to call them a traditional team that sponsored an esports team, but they were kind of this giant investment vehicle that came in and they bought everything. You know, they had arenas, they had content, they had teams, they had leagues. And then they kind of got a look at all, like, you know, the data from all those. Okay, this is where people are making money, this is where people aren't making money. And they're starting to basically cut, you know, the things that they don't see a future for, they don't find lucrative. And this isn't indicative of Counter-Strike specifically, but I think that, you know, you're going to see traditional sports teams walk away from their esports investments, similar to the way that ES Force walked away from Na'Vi. And I think that you're going to see that happen more with games that are that involve Counter-Strike. You saw that, I mean, to some degree, you saw that also happen with CLG where they walked away. They had a pretty good Counter-Strike team for a while and they weren't able to generate revenue. And I know the players right now, you know, it's like making like 25 grand a month or whatnot. So it's an expensive place to operate. And I think that the margins just aren't there anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right on target here. I think primarily it's because of the strength of these new like franchise leagues coming up where the economy is much more streamlined. You know, player salaries are, you know, there's a minimum salary, but there's also, it's also brought closer together. I think on the other hand, CSGO, because like you said, it's not sponsor friendly. I think if sponsors are looking to invest in esports, they will go to one of the big leagues. And I think that will take away even from the existing sponsorships right now in Counter-Strike.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. So I think that's kind of like the negative ones. Some other random things that I'm kind of looking forward to and I'm interested in for the next year. I'm really excited about the Will Ferrell esports movie, because I think it's going to just, you know, it's going to pose the esports question to the wider world of, you know, the mainstream media. Like, I know we talk about the mainstream media a lot in the space, but I think that it's just like, it does it in such a different way that, you know, if he goes too far with it and like, you know, mocking it and whatnot, then, you know, will the response be, Will Ferrell, you're a douche for disrespecting us? Or, you know, if he does it in a way that it's kind of like educational, funny, and to some degree, like respectful or true to the, let's say, let's use the favorite esports word, authentic to the space. I think you could get a lot of support from the community.
I'm excited because either it's going to be very well done, like you said, which will be, you know, obviously very positive, or it will be horrible. And I can't wait to see the whole community, you know, just be in flames about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's talk another one. Where do you want to see the League of Legends World Finals be held in 2018?
That's very interesting.
Did they announce it yet or not? I don't think they announced it yet.
I don't think so. Honestly, I think it has, even though it will be, you know, with the, it'll be again in America. I mean, this year was in China, but the year before it was in America. I think it has to be in America, if only because it's the first year that the NALCS is franchised. So it's kind of, it can be this like, you know, like everything leads up to this. They're putting probably lots of money into the marketing of the game and specifically the NALCS right now. So it will be very difficult for it not to be in the US. Also, they need to work on their American viewership. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if the league does as expected, so, you know, nothing too crazy, but the worlds go, you know, they go all out and they get a tremendous viewership, the league will be seen as a success its first year. And then I see next year with the EULCS most likely franchising, I see the worlds being in Europe.
Okay. Yeah, I do think that it's going to be America as well. All right, let's do another one. What new country do you expect to buy into Overwatch next, Overwatch League?
I'll have to think. There are two popping up in my mind right now. I think maybe we'll see Canada.
Okay, yeah, I believe that.
Or we might see a Germany.
Yeah, so, I'm going to go with Germany too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Do you have any more for me?
Let's see. So, you know, giving the which new entrant, like traditional sports team that has entered esports right now, do you see becoming, you know, a real esports organization and not just a team in one league? Like which traditional sports team do you see really, you know, making big moves in 2018 that are new entrants in 2017?
All right. Does do the Rangers count with Optic?
If they use the like the Rangers staff and the Rangers brand, and it's not just giving Optic money, for sure.
No, okay. I think it's just giving Optic money, and Optic's going to build it up. That's what I've been seeing. Okay. Let me see. Cavaliers. Yeah, I'm going to go with Cavaliers. I think that super bullish on the Cavs right now. I really like Blake. I really like Nadeshot. I think that, you know, they have a great partnership with LeBron. I'm bullish on the Cavs.
I think so too. I mean, they're already in CSGO now. I mean, obviously the NALCS. So I think that they won't just wave here. On the same time, so I definitely pick them as my first pick. Secondly, I think we might see some interesting stuff from the Rockets, if just because I really like their analytical approach to everything. So I think if like a couple months into the NALCS, their current business model proves to be working, they'll start implementing it into different games as well.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of in alignment on that. All right, here's another one. Arena of Valor. How big of a success will it be in the U.S.?
I think it'll be a very big success. I mean, so far, everyone who I've talked to, including people that don't like MOBAs, like including me, for instance, enjoy Arena of Valor. And I think if Tencent has a good esports strategy in 2018, I think we can see it really grow a community out of it. What do you think, Anton?
I'm torn. I just feel like I don't know. Everybody says that it's a great game, and I haven't played it, but just my knee-jerk reaction is it's not going to translate. I don't know. That's going to be my one, I guess, my one out-of-line prediction from everything is I don't think Arena of Valor will succeed in the U.S.
Okay. Well, I hope you be proven wrong.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the show, unless there's anything else you want to talk about, Mo?
No. I think, you know, just to wrap things up, I mean, 2018 will be an extremely historic year for esports. The first month of 2018 will probably be the most exciting month we have had in history. I mean, the OWL launching, the NALCS launching, that'll be extremely excited. And also, I think it's important to thank our listeners who have been with us for the past couple months. And you know, we're very much looking forward to going on this journey with you guys in 2018.
Yeah, guys, and thank you so much for tuning in to the past 18 episodes. We really appreciate it. Our iTunes growth has definitely showed that, you know, you guys like this content. So we hope to do more for you in the next year. As always, you guys can find me on Twitter at JokerCanSpell. And Mo, where can people find you?
You can find me at MreisenMann. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll see you in the next year.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.